arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Bless the name of Jesus. It's good to be here another Saturday evening to continue bringing forth the Word of God. We are in the epistle of Paul to the Romans, and we are now about to begin chapter 3. Last week we finished chapter 2 of Romans, and this week we are going to begin chapter 3. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness towards us. Thank you for your love which never fails. Oh God, you never give up on us. Thank you for the hope we have in you, oh God. Thank you, oh God, that our hope is alive, for Jesus Christ himself is our hope. And we thank you, O God, for your word to us. We thank you, O God, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. We thank you that your word, O God Almighty, prevents us from stumbling along this journey. So we give you thanks for your word this evening. We give you praise. We give you honor, O God, that you have left, O God, your instruction of righteousness to us so that we can walk right, we can live right. O God, we can bring honor to your name. Thank you, O God, again, for what you're doing in this season. Thank you, O God, that your word, O God Almighty, will find that good place in our hearts, that your words, O God, will germinate and bring forth fruits of righteousness. We thank you, O God, that Christ-like character will be formed in us as we continue to assimilate your word, O God. Your word, O God Almighty, Lord, will make us strong. Your word, O God, will help us to remain faithful, O God, and we thank you, O God, that our faith is built up by your word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. I pray that we will not be forgetful hearers of your word, O God. That our ears will be circumcised, that we will hear your word, O God. Our hearts will be circumcised, that we will, O God, understand your word, O God, and that your word will find that good ground in our hearts. Lord God, we pray. Lord, we look to you this evening, and we pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that in everything that we do or say, that your great name will be honored. We bless you, we praise you, and we give you glory. We thank you for those that are listening right now. We thank you for those that are already saved. O God, we pray that your word will continue to keep them on the right path. And we pray for those that are not yet saved, O God, that as they hear your word, they will see the need to surrender their hearts to you. Lord, we look to you, O God, for that great revival. O God, only you can revive us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you, O God, will bring forth a change of heart. You will cause us, O God, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another as you have called us to. We pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that lives will be transformed as your word go forth. And, O God, hearts, O God, will turn to you, mighty God, we pray. Father, we thank you again for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you are about to do. May your great name be honored in our lives as we continue to look to you by faith. In no other name but the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we say amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We are going to continue in Romans. We are now in Romans chapter 3. That's what we are going to start, Romans chapter 3. And last week we finished chapter 2. In the last verse, verse 29 of chapter 2 said, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So the Lord is really telling us that it's about the inward man. The inward man being circumcised, the heart being circumcised. The heart being pure and true before God. That's what God really requires of us, people of God. So we're going to start chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "What advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision?" So Paul was asking this question. What advantage then has the Jew? What advantage the Jew have over others? Or what profit is there of circumcision? what benefit does a Jew have over the Gentile? Or what does the outward sign of circumcision profit? That's a question he was asking. But he went on to verse 2 and said, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So Paul was saying, in most ways, the Jews were at an advantage, mainly because they had the written laws of God committed to them. They had the written laws committed to them. So they were at an advantage because they had God's law plainly put before them. So they should be living more righteous than anyone else, because they had the written law placed right before them. Look on verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? So Paul was saying that if some of the Jews fail to believe, even though they have the law, they are given the hard copy of the law, they have it written. And if they don't believe, he asks the question, if their unbelief or their disobedience, can that make the word of God ineffective? No. God is always faithful to his word. God is always faithful to his word. So whether you want to believe it or practice it, that doesn't affect God's word. God's word stands forever. God's word is always true. It's always faithful. God is always faithful to his word, people of God. So whether or not they believe or don't believe, God's word stands. God's word stands forever. And God is always faithful. Let us not forget the faithfulness of God. God is not man who is unfaithful. He remains faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, our God remains faithful. So we have to understand, people of God, who our God is, and walk in holiness and truth, walk in reverence of his great name. Verse 4 said, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man be a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in the sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So Paul was saying that God will not allow such a thing. God is always true, but all men are liars, as the scripture says. That you may be proven to be right in what you say and be victorious over those who judge you or condemn you. So people of God, let us remain faithful. Let us continue to practice God's word. And even though some might be saying things and judging us and trying to condemn us, God's word will always prove that we are walking in the right path. So let us follow God's word. Let us be faithful. Let us know that his faithful promises to us stands forever. Let us not turn from the word of God, but let us hold firmly to God's word, faithful to the end, people of God. The word of God tells us that Jesus is going to commend those that are faithful. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we have to continue to be faithful, trusting God's word, and knowing that God's word stands forever. God's word is truth. God's word is truth. So we must hold firmly to the truth of God's word. Only God's word can truly, truly make us right, because only God's word is right. So we just bless God for his word to us. Thank God that he did not leave us without a word, but he gave us his book, the book of all books. 66 books in that Bible that he gave to us. And people of God, if we read and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts and give us right understanding of the word so that we can apply the word unto wisdom. People of God, our hearts and our lives will be blessed continuously. But we have to hold firmly to God's word and remain faithful, knowing that his word is faithful. His word stands forever. He is our faithful God. Verse 5 of Romans chapter 3. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance? I speak it as a man. So Paul was saying that if the unrighteousness of the Jews exhibit the righteousness of God, what can the Jews say to this? That God is unjust to inflict his wrath on the Jews? Paul stated that he speaks from his own opinion. Then he went on in verse 6 and said, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? So Paul was saying that God is by no means unjust. For then how could he judge the world? He wouldn't be qualified to judge the world if he was unjust. So that's what Paul was saying. And people of God, we have to remember God is always righteous. That's who he is. That's one of his attributes. He's a righteous God. Righteousness emanates from him. Holiness emanates from him. Faithfulness emanates from him. Goodness emanates from him. That's who he is. He's God. He cannot be otherwise. And we have to understand, people of God. Abraham understood the God of his salvation. Abraham speaking to God in Genesis 18:25, when he was there interceding for his nephew Lot, who was in Sodom. God was going to destroy all of Sodom, everybody. But Abraham interceded on behalf of Lot and his family. The word of God tells us in Genesis 18:25 that Abraham said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. So Abraham was saying, God, I know you are a righteous God. Are you not going to slay the righteous with the wicked? I know you. People of God, we have to know the God that we serve. Abraham knew God. He understands that God. So he brought this to God's attention. I know, God, that you are a righteous God, and you are not going to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. No, that be far from thee. That's not you, God. You are a righteous God. You are a just God. Look on what Abraham said in the remainder of the verse. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I know that you are a judge of all the earth. You are the righteous judge. You are the just judge. Shall not you do right? So Abraham asked that question of the Lord. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God is a righteous God. He can't be otherwise. He is the righteous one. He is the Almighty God. He's a God of justice. But he's also a God of mercy, people of God. So Abraham understood and knew his God. So God is calling us to know him personally, people of God. To know who he is, to know his ways. God said in Jeremiah 9, I want you to know. I want you to understand that I'm a God of righteousness. I'm a God of loving kindness. I'm a God of justice. I want you to know and understand this. We must know, people of God. We must understand that our God is righteous and true and holy and pure. There's no guile in him. He's God. He's above all. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I know you, Abraham is saying. I know that you are the righteous one. You are the just one. I know you. So I know that you're not going to slay the righteous with the wicked. I know. So Abraham was speaking to God from an intimate place. Abraham had an intimate relationship with God. And he knew the God he serves people of God, we want to know God in such a way that when we cry out to him, we will touch him. We will touch him because we know him and we can speak his words back to him. Abraham said, I know you. I know that you are the righteous one and you will not slay the righteous with the wicked. I know that you are the judge of all the earth. You are the righteous judge. You are the just judge. And you always do what is right. So we have to know our God, people of God, and walk in intimate relationship with him. Walking in the knowledge of who he is. Knowing him personally. Paul cried out in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him. I want to know him. Paul, who had all those revelations, people of God, Paul, who was in such an intimate relationship, he said, there is more. I want to know him. I want to experience the resurrection power. I want to experience the Holy Spirit working in my life in such a way. I want to experience him. That's what he cried out. I want to identify with his suffering and come to that place of dying to myself. Identifying with his death. Dying to myself and living for him. So people of God, that should be our desire today. To die to self and to live for Jesus Christ. To experience the resurrection power that quickens us. The Holy Spirit quickens our mortal bodies and bring us to that place of Christ-likeness, walking in truth and holiness, the inward man being pure and true before God. God looks on the inward man. Man looking on the outside, which looks good at times. But Jesus Christ himself rebuked the religious leaders. He rebuked the religious leaders. He said, you are what? Like whited sepulchres outside, looking so beautiful, but inside is dead men's bones. People of God, we want our inside to look so beautiful that whatever comes from the inside will reflect on the outside. So we want, when we speak, people of God, the words that comes out will bring what? Grace to the hearers. It will be gracious words. Words that are seasoned with the salt of God's word. Flavorful words. Words that edifies. Words that come forth with truth. Corrects with truth. Corrects with love. So that others who hear will receive and be changed. The Lord is calling us, people of God. The Lord is calling us to that place of really knowing God and living for him. Verse 7 of Romans chapter 3. For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? If my dishonesty bring God's glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? That's what Paul was saying. People of God, remember, God is a just God. He's a just judge. And when we look, people of God, and Bible references, and we look on the story of Esau and Jacob, remember in Genesis 25:23, the Lord already spoke to Rebecca and told her that she's going to have twins. But he said that the older shall serve the younger. So the younger is going to reign. The younger was a trickster, as we read and continue to read from chapters 25 to 27. We see the life of Jacob and Esau. In chapter 27, we see where Jacob tricked Isaac and received the blessings of the firstborn. So Esau was the firstborn. Remember, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob went in, pretended to be Esau, and got that blessing, the blessing of the firstborn from his father Isaac. So, people of God, and we see the life of Jacob. Jacob was called to represent God. He was the one who had all the 12 tribes of Israel were born from the loins of Jacob. But people of God, we see also where Jacob suffered for his wrongdoings. So God didn't just say, Jacob, I chose you to represent me and to bring forth the 12 tribes of Israel that will later represent me here on earth. But God also had to punish sin. He called him out, but he called him out to show forth his glory, but he also had to punish him for his sins. He had to suffer the consequences for his sins. So we saw where he went through all those rough times, even with his uncle Laban. And when he went and he worked so hard for 7 years for Rachel, the word of God tells us that Laban gave him Leah instead. And he had to work another 7 years. And all the troubles that he went through, he was running from his brother Esau. He spent all those years as a fugitive running from his brother. So his life wasn't just a bed of roses. His life wasn't just a beautiful one because he was chosen of God. He had to suffer for the consequences of his sin also, even though he was called to bring glory and honor to the name of God. God told his mother, Rebecca, that the older shall serve the younger. It's the younger one that I've called to bring honor to my name. But that doesn't mean that the younger is going to be exempt from my punishment for sin. No. People of God, we have to get it right. We have to get it right. Our dishonesty and our sin, God must punish. God is a just God. He must punish sin. But he's also a God of mercy and grace. So let us not forget that also, that God is also a God of mercy and grace. He's a just God. He must punish sin. But he's also a God of grace and mercy. Verse 8 of Romans chapter 3. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Whose damnation is just? So Paul was saying that some were slandering them. There were people that were slandering them, saying that they were teaching that the more they sin, the more good will come from it. And that was not so. Paul was saying that those who say those things should be condemned. So people of God, when we decide to follow Christ and when we decide to do what's right and when we decide to preach the word of God in season and out of season, many are going to slander us. Many are going to twist what we say things that we didn't say. But let us continue to hold firmly and to continue to do what God has called us to do. Let us not turn to the right nor to the left, but let us continue to stay focused on Christ Jesus, focus on the word and bring forth the word of God so that the word will do its work in the lives of humanity. It's the word that brings forth change, people of God. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation. The word of God has the ability to change the vilest of sinners. So we have to come to understand that the word does the work. The word is alive. It's active. The word is not dormant, people of God. The word is alive and active. It's doing its work. So let us continue to bring forth God's word, whether or not we are being slandered, or they might be saying all manner of evil against us. Let us remember the words of Jesus. They are going to do it to us. They have done it to the prophets that were before us. They're going to do it to us also. So let us not allow this to stop us from continuing to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ, because the good news of Jesus Christ is the power, is the ability to save. Verse 9 of Romans chapter 3. What then? Paul was saying, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. So Paul was asking the question, are we the Jews better than the Gentiles? And sometimes we think that we are better off than some folks. So Paul asked the question to the Jewish audience, are we better than they? We're not better than the Gentiles. He said, no, in no wise, in no way we are better than them. And we have seen and we have proven that both Jews and Gentiles, all of humanity, are under sin. We are under that sin, the curse of sin, people of God. Adam, who sinned, the first man, Adam, that sinned, we inherited his sin nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of humanity have sinned and are sinners. So it's not a matter of whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Paul was saying that we are all under sin. Look at verse 10 of Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So Paul was quoting from Psalm 14. Psalm 14, 1 to 3. Paul was quoting from this psalm, and I'm going to read Psalm 14, 1 to 3. So Paul was making it clear that all of humanity are guilty before God. Look on verse Psalm 14, 1 to 3. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. People of God, we see here in this psalm, Paul was making it clear that all of humanity are guilty before God. All of humanity have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the psalmist make it so clear. So Paul was saying, as it is written, and as it was written in the psalm, that they are all gone aside. They are all together before. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. None that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 11 said, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. People of God, we don't naturally seek after God. How many of us naturally seek after God? No. The word of God tells us that it is the Holy Spirit who draws us to God. So we want to just submit ourselves to God and rely upon him to help us to walk righteously and holy. God bless you. We'll stop there this evening and we'll continue next week. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you for your people who have listened to your word. And we pray that your word will bring transformation to the hearts of your people. As we look to you by faith, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we say amen, amen. Blessings to all. Have a wonderful weekend. Praise God.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.